Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for victory in Jesus. We thank you for your coming, Lord Jesus, for us. We pray, Lord, that as we begin this time of thinking and anticipating Christmas Day, your arrival with us, we pray that you might help us to honor and praise your name and worship you every day of our life. We thank you for the greatness of your grace and mercy to us. They are mysterious. We thank you for your grace, Heavenly Father, that you've shown to us in sending the Lord Jesus so that we might be saved. We honor you today. We praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you who are here today. I'm Pastor Mike. Merry Christmas. We're honored to have you. Next week, choir will be sharing both hours. Please invite your friends. It'll be a special time. Choir and orchestra, all the rest. Find in your place in your Bible, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, toward the back of your New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 is where we'll be looking today, and Lord willing, in the days ahead for a while, as I talk to you about the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now find your place in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then if you'll also, we have double assignments today, if you'll find your place in Luke chapter 10. Keep both places there. We're going to read them here at the beginning together. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then also Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. As you're finding your place, Advent is the time we call a focused preparation upon our celebration of the Lord Jesus at Christmas time. It is my desire that as a church, we do all we can to focus our minds. Look, it's hard to be focused at Christmas time. Hard to be focused at Christmas time. Lots going on, busy. Why, the church calendar is full. Your calendar is full. You're already tired. You don't know what you're going to get done. You're coming off Thanksgiving and you've got all these things to do. Busy, busy, busy. But we must as God's people, discipline ourselves to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. So I want us to use this time in 1 Timothy chapter 3 to think about what may be strange to you. You may have never read these words before. This is an ancient confession. Some would say an ancient hymn of the church that has been confessed and perhaps sung in many, many ways for thousands of years. And Paul includes it early on as he writes to Timothy, his young disciple, as he was establishing churches all over the area. So they would plant a church, and then this letter especially, 1 Timothy, is a letter given so that he might know how to establish and set things up. In fact, in chapter 3, we have direction he gives on how the church is to select pastors and deacons. Pastors and deacons. And we seek to follow that example here in our own church. So we'll begin reading in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Keep your finger in Luke 10. We'll go there next. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says to Timothy, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself, notice, in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Notice it again, verse 15. I'm writing these things in case I'm delayed so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And then if you'll go now to Luke chapter 10, keep your finger in 1 Timothy because we'll go back there. Luke chapter 10, the disciples are returning from their mission and they're telling the Lord Jesus exciting things about even the devils were obeying them when they were cast out. And the Lord Jesus says in verse 10, Luke 10:20, nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but please notice, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Now, verse number 21 and 22 are very important as we consider what we'll be talking about today. At this time, he, that is the Lord Jesus, rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our focal truth is this: the church knows that Jesus Christ is the mystery of godliness. I could say it another way. The church knows that Jesus Christ is the secret from all of the ages. He is the secret who has been revealed. What did the Lord say here in Luke 10? He said, only those to whom God reveals Jesus Christ and who he is will ever be saved. That's a reality in the life of every person here who's come to know Jesus Christ. So we're going to be talking about Jesus Christ, the mystery of godliness. We're going to think about it in this way because we know so much about the Lord Jesus, we've somehow lost the mystery of it. But I want to remind you that everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is quite mysterious. It is spiritual. It is beyond our comprehension. It is beyond our ability to rationalize and understand it. All of the gospel doesn't really make sense. The whole idea of the church doesn't make sense. All of this seems to be quite a mystery. We read all of the prophecies of the Old Testament given to the Jews about a coming one, but that's about what it was, veiled, strange, secrets, things that only they knew, the rest of the world knew nothing about it. Now we live in this time where the Lord Jesus has died on the cross, been raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, and is coming again. As we come to Christmas, we anticipate and celebrate his first coming, but we also at this time of the year anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ soon in our midst. So with this said, we confess with all of the church from all the ages, great is the mystery of godliness. As I've said to Brother Jeff before about the Psalms, as we looked at them, I say about this, we don't know the meter of this, if it was a hymn, we don't know the tune, but we know the words. So we join to say, great is the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ is the mystery of godliness. So I'm going to press on you over the next weeks, many of the things we'll ask you to do during the month of December will push on you as a church to declutter yourself at Christmas time. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him the focus of your Christmas. I challenge you. I'm challenging myself. Look, we all got a lot to do. But if we have so much to do that we lose the Lord Jesus at Christmas time, it is a great, great tragedy, especially for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know something that the world does not know. We know someone that the world does not know. We know the secret as God's people. So we'll talk about secrets and mysteries. Secrets and mysteries, and they're revealed in these six phrases that describe the life of the mystery of godliness, the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. And Lord willing, over the next weeks, we'll look at each of these because there's much for us to learn, much for us to celebrate, and much for us to be in awe as we consider the glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have three observations for you today. Three observations that come from verse 15. Verse 15 is talking about the church. And I'm speaking to the church. I'm speaking to the church today. I want you to hear what is being said about you as the church as it relates to knowing Jesus Christ. This is quite a privilege, by the way. This is quite a privilege. You see, what we understand about Jesus Christ is not what the world understands. What we understand about Christmas time is not what the world understands. We know a very special secret. So number one, the church knows as the household of God. We're going to see here. Notice in verse 15, he says, we must know how to conduct ourselves. Notice first, in the household of God. All of you are representing households here from all around this area by your name, the household of whoever, the household of whatever. You are a household. You've come here as households, families. That is this idea here. This idea of household is the word oikos, family. Your families, the families who are believers in Jesus Christ who gather at First Baptist Church, make up this family of God. So we are the household of God. Secondly, he says that this household of God not only knows the mystery of godliness, but the church as the called out ones. You see, that's our name. Church means in the original Greek language to be called out. So the church, he says here, that we'll know how to conduct ourselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the called out of the living God. Notice the pillar and support of the truth. So the third thing is that the church, as the pillar and support of God's truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, we know the mystery of godliness. Why is it so important for us to understand and think about this today? Well, it's important because as we come to this time of the year, it's easy to be caught up in the world's interpretation of Christmas, the way that the world does it. I mean, of course, any good businessman knows this is a great time of the year to make a whole lot of money. And a whole lot of business people will make a whole lot of money this time of the year because this is the focus. And so marketing and all the rest kick in, everything takes place. And everybody buy. We go and get presents, we carry out. And soon we're caught up in other things rather than considering, worshiping, honoring, following the mystery of godliness. My prayer is that during this Christmas season, you will discover and be awed in a fresh new way related to the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mystery of His coming, the mystery of His birth, the mystery of Him being both God and man in one human person, the mystery of His words, the mystery of the way He died, the mystery of His resurrection and ascension, the mystery, the mysterious, glorious secrets of the Lord Jesus Christ are ours as a church to know. So number one, what do we know as a family? Well, we know the secret. Not long ago, I talked about family secrets with this church. We looked at all of those dark, sinful, secret, hidden sins in the families of the patriarchs in the book of Genesis. But now I'm talking about the secret that brings us all together. You see, we know a secret. We've come here today, though you may not have thought about it this way in a long time. The secret was told to you, but you believe a secret, and we still have a secret that most of the world, many in the world would not even understand, and all of the world doesn't even recognize. We come today to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the church is a group of baptized believers who are a family of believers together. We love one another. We care for one another. We take care of one another. We are the household of God. We're the household of God. We belong to the Lord. We have one Father, and we have one Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And so as we pray our Father. We pray it together as God's people, all as a part of one family, the family of God. What Paul said, you're no longer strangers. You're a part of the household of God. He says it the same in several places. Peter mentions the same thing, that we've become this house of God. The church is a group of people who love each other in a different way than we love others in the world. There's a special brotherly love among us. We care for one another, but we carry with us this secret. And the church, as the household of God, the family of God, we are the called out of God. Notice he says, the household of God, which is the church of the living God. You serve a living God. You've been called out of death, sinful death, to serve the living God. You serve a living God. This church serves a living God who is moving and stirring and working even in the world today, who's doing his work in our lives. At the same time, who's carrying out his work. We are the church, the called out of God, who serve a living God. You were once not a people, Peter says, but now you are the people of God. You once did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're a group of baptized believers who serve the living God, and we offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read it to you from Peter. He says, as living stones, this is describing the church, as living stones being built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we've been doing today. We've been offering up spiritual sacrifices. We've been saying thank you, Lord, with our lips, even though we might be in terrible, hard times, dealing with difficult things. We've come here because we come to honor the Lord Jesus Christ as God's family together, as the household of God, serving the living God and offering up praise to Him as a holy priesthood. We offer our praise to the Lord and we submit to our God. We submit to Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church. We do all of that remembering that we know this great secret. By common confession, verse 16, great is the mystery of godliness. You know, secrets are really flattering to know. When someone tells you a secret and doesn't tell someone else, well, it flatters you. Secrets are a special thing. If they're a good secret, it makes our day. It makes us happier. But nothing is more wonderful than to share a secret. And that's part of what we understand here. The secret of the Lord Jesus Christ that the world doesn't know, God intends for the church to be the ones who tell the secret. We tell the world the secret about Jesus Christ. We don't explain away, but we tell the world the mysteries about Jesus Christ. We don't apologize for what we can't understand. See, that's mystery. We don't apologize for why God did it the way He did in the time in which He did it. We simply share it. And that's this third element that Paul puts here in verse 15. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you some words that you know. Jesus said once upon a time as He was on the earth, to a group of people who are listening to Him, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm looking at a group of people in this room. You're looking at a man here. We have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have believed on Him. We have repented of our sins. And the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing Him to be Lord and Savior of our lives, we've been set free. You've been delivered from your sin. You've been forgiven. You've been justified. Now the work of making you more like Jesus is taking place till one day, hallelujah, you're glorified and you're like the Lord Jesus and you experience heaven. That's the glory of the truth of Jesus Christ sets us free. But the Lord also said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. Who was He saying this to? To His disciples. He also prayed to God the Father in John 17. I sanctify myself. Listen, the Lord said this to God the Father. I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. You know what pulls you away from the world's ways? You know what pulls you away from those old values you had before you believed in Jesus, the truth of Jesus Christ. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believe in the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believe the secret, when you accept the secret as true in your life, it sets you free and changes you, and we become, as a church, pillars that support the truth. That's what Paul's trying to say here. What is the church here to do today? I mean, wouldn't it be better if once we believe in Jesus Christ, we just die and go to heaven? Wouldn't that be, that'd be a better thing, wouldn't it? Cut out all the middle part. Just we die and we go to heaven. The reality is the Lord leaves us here as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 15, the pillar, the support of the truth. You see, we're the ones that the world looks at, we who are Christians, the church. We believers are the ones that the world looks at and says, they, something is different about those people. Something is different about those people. Pillars, listen to this. I'll read it from, in fact, it's in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a famous passage. He says, we are built, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What's that saying? Built on the truth of God's Word from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. We've been built on the truth of Jesus Christ and His words and the truths of God's Word that we have believed, and now we've been built. We're being built. Peter says it's like a spiritual house, but Paul chooses to use words like pillars. Pillars that hold up the truth. He says we're being fitted together and we're growing into the temple of the Lord, Paul says, in whom we're being built together into a dwelling place of the Spirit. This is what happens. This is what's taking place in the church. This is a mystery that among the people of God, the Holy Spirit moves among us. The Holy Spirit who dwells within all of us, we join together, and by that power of the Holy Spirit, we exhibit the truth of God to the world. We show people that they can truly change. We show people that their lives can be turned around. We show people that you can become a new person in Christ. We are the pillars who hold up and support, stabilize is really the word, the second word supported, to stabilize the truth. What is it that the world needs to see? They need to see Jesus Christ in us. They need to see a difference in our lives as the church. So here is the great mystery of godliness revealed. It's revealed through the church. Listen to this. Let me just give you two places where Paul and Peter both talk about this. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that the church is to be like a light, lights in the world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Get all these images now in your mind. We're pillars who hold up the truth of Jesus Christ in the world. And then Paul says, we're like lights in the world. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, church. But here's what he said. We appear as lights in the world, holding fast or holding out, look, the word of life. This is what we do. We hold fast to the word of life. Peter said it this way. that we're to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness. That's what it means to be saved. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the Lord Jesus said, go make disciples. That is, the church that knows the secret about Jesus Christ is to tell the world the secret about Jesus Christ. We go, we tell. We go, we tell. So what do we remember today as we're thinking about this? Well, just a couple of things. I want to emphasize these as we finish. Number one, the church knows Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. Why do we do all of this around candles and Advent and all the rest? Pastor Mike, everybody knows about Christmas. Do they really? Do they really? I could give you multiple examples in all of my now 14 years of being here why I've met people in Dixon who didn't even know who Jesus Christ was preached to be. I know people in Dixon County who've never had a Bible. Oh, you, Pastor Mike, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making it up. I know people in the world who have never even been to church in this part of the country. You think, in this part of the country? Yes, right here. Dixon County. Right here in the middle of the Bible Belt, wherever we want, Buckle or whatever we want to call ourselves. No, you see, the world doesn't know about Jesus. The world doesn't care about Jesus. And if you notice that the whole story of the Lord's birth is somewhat secretive. It's obscure. Herod got word from the wise men. You all know this. He got word from the wise men, but he was just worried about his political career. He didn't want a rival king that would take away his power. So he had the power, so he just killed children. Male children to make sure that he didn't have a rival. The reality is that the world doesn't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, but the church knows. The church knows. Everyone who calls the name of Jesus, everyone who is born again, knows the secret. We know the secret. Whatever language we speak, wherever we are on the globe, the church knows the secret. That's why Paul says, first phrase in verse 16, by common confession. This is what all of the church says. By common confession, we know Jesus is the great mystery. Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. And we also confess it. We confess that Jesus Christ is the great mystery of godliness. You know what? There must come from our mouths no longer cursing, but confessing that Jesus is Lord. We must confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead and we'll be saved. And there must be those of us who know the secret, a willingness to confess Jesus Christ is the secret. He's the one who can change the life of any person on the globe today. We must be willing to confess with our mouth. Here's the way the Lord Jesus said it. Look, confessing Jesus, sharing the gospel, is very important. In fact, it's one of the marks that you are a Christian. The Lord Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. As He said in another place, depart from me, I never knew you. The importance of confessing Jesus at Christmas is vitally important. This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, church. It's not about these peripheral things. Let's declutter in our minds as hard as it is. I know I'm preaching against the wind blowing in my face right now. I know I am, but I'm reminding you the focus must be the mystery of godliness. We must be those, because we know the secret, who confess the secret and tell others. And remember this, the only reason why you and I know the secret is because the Holy Spirit of God has revealed Jesus Christ to us. He is the glorious mystery of God. God's love for the world is expressed in the coming of Jesus Christ. So I'm pointing you in your minds to a manger. I'm pointing you in your minds to a manger. Yes, we get to the cross. But before the cross, there is this mystery. Why would God, who can do anything, why would God allow Jesus Christ to be born in such an obscure and strange way? I'm among farmers here. I'm among farmers. You know, just walk out in the stable and get and take a deep breath and draw in all of that wonderful aroma for a moment. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ laid His head. I'm pointing you to a stable. I'm pointing you to a place of insignificance. They didn't even have a place. He ends up born in a stable. All these mysteries that surround the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of His strange words, all of His words that have life-giving power when we believe them. This is what the world laughs at and says, you believe in such a one who calls himself a king, who was born in such a way? He rides into Jerusalem not on a white steed, but on a donkey. He rides in on a donkey. And they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the mystery. This is the mystery that the one who would die for the world dies as a criminal on a cross. And when he rises from the dead, he only appears to his followers. It's a secret. But now we, as the pillar and support and household of God, the church, the called out ones, we have the privilege of going and telling the world the secret of the mystery of godliness. Go and tell, go and tell. So this time of the year, may I just say it like this? The greatest gift you could give to your friend who doesn't know Jesus is to sit down and talk to them about Jesus Christ and what He's done in your life. The greatest gift you could do for your child, your grandchild, is to sit down, if they're able and they understand and they're of an age they can understand, and share the gospel with them so that perhaps they might pray to receive Christ. We go to the world, we go to the world to tell the great secret, the great mystery of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Paul says, so that you will know how to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord Jesus is near to the door. And this time of the year, we get to say it this way. Merry Christmas, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Merry Christmas, come Lord Jesus.